The building is about the thinness of glass, but about the thickness of stone, about the modernity of technology and the traditions of entrance, place, and all the things I've been trying to talk to you about tonight. You enter, and you don't enter into some fuzzy-minded little sliver, little atrium with plastic plants dying before you. You enter into a grand lobby with beautiful wood walls, the same wood as the elevators of Tiffany's in New York, and stone columns, and through portals, little temple-like airlocks, and everything about it is to remind you of the pleasure and care of architecture, of you in this story. And you go up great stairs to the second floor. Those stairs are in a forced perspective, as in many palaces, to make the space seem deeper. The walls are more luxuriously wood, and they're both warm and grand at the same time. Here you see, when you're looking from the opposite way of that kind of classical world, come slightly unhinged, as it must be. This is not a temple. This is a freewheeling interpretation of classicism, but it is one fundamentally rooted. And finally, the building must exist in the place. We made these places. Our sponsor made these places. Mobile, in case you can't see it, if you can see it. The Red Roof Inns, the Pizza Huts, all of that are part of our world. If we're going to build in it, we must respect it and grow out of it. That is the American vernacular of the 20th century. All the buildings in the foreground on that slide, you can order, you can dial for the doors, they get delivered to the frame. Those mansard roofs come on the backs of trucks and just get lowered onto the buildings. That is our vernacular. And so our building, and most buildings we build, must be built with that vernacular, as Jefferson built the vernacular of his day. But we can't just build with the vernacular. We can't just stay there. Architecture is not just a kit of parts. It is an aspiration. We must make glorious places. We must make great barriers of our toll plazas, great occasions of coming and going in and out of our cities. We must make places that people can imagine. I mean, there isn't a soul that can go out on that balcony. It's locked, I assure you. But you would dream of the moment when you can go out there. And as you're sitting in your car, bored out of your socks, it's something to think about that takes you beyond yourself to some higher essence. And you must imagine that this great palace is not a place where you go to get a job or work at the TV station or the insurance agency or all the other kinds of places that are there, but that this is some grand home and celebration of a whole part of your life. Even if you never work in it, it must be part of that. It must convey the dignity of place and activity and vocation in our time as well as the tradition. So I'll close with that, because it best expresses the complexity of the world we live in as I've been able to translate it. I think if you bore so long and patiently with me tonight, you'll find the television much less going. In any case, you can turn the sound down and watch the pictures, which are exquisitely beautiful, and take you on a magic kaleidoscopic tour through 200 years of our architecture all over the country. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you very much.